All right, you ready to study the word today? All right, talk big to me. There we go. I want you to, if you have your Bibles or a screen or a tablet or a phone, whatever you got, turn to Haggai chapter 2. You're like, where is that? Listen, find Matthew. Okay, so find the New Testament and then go to the left three books and you'll find Haggai right there. So Matthew, and then you'll go back into the Old Testament and take a left and you'll find Haggai. I'll give you just a second to find it. Last week, I preached on what a transformed life looks like. And one of the things that I mentioned about that in that message is that when the Holy Spirit transforms us, when he takes a hold and he begins to transform us and empower us to do the work, do you remember me telling you that the have-tos change to the get-tos? It goes from the I have-tos to the I get-tos. It's the motivation of our life that changes, the motivation of our heart that does. Now, we all know, I hope we do, we all know that the church is not a building. Yes or no? One of the things that I really appreciate about the season that we're in, this setup, tear down season, is that we can have this idea ingrained in us, and I'm grateful for it, that our identity is not in a building. Okay, it's not in a facility. And we don't say, it would be improper to say, we're going to church. All right, you can finish that out and say, we're going to the church house. That's fine. But we are the church, okay? And we know that. We are the church. We're to be the church. And we're on a kingdom building mission is what we're on. And the Holy Spirit, what he does is he draws us together to build one another up. We organize together. We organize ourselves. And we come into agreement with God toward together to build and advance the kingdom of God. You with me? In Matthew 28, Jesus gives us this mandate. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to tell you about it. Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, right? So he tells us that. So within that, there's kind of a package here. He says, go make disciples of all nations. Guess what there's going to be? There's going to be disciple-making going on. There's going to be mentoring going on, organized to do that, of all nations, baptizing them. If they're going to be baptizing them, what are they going to have to do first? They're going to have to share the gospel. They're going to have to proclaim the truth of the word to them somehow, and then people are getting saved, and they're baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then there's some kind of organization teaching them and training these people to obey the commandments of the Lord. See, so we're a sent people, okay? We're a sent people and we're a people on the move. Our God is a God on the move. He's a God on the move, okay? Now, part of the recipients of being recipients of the gospel is we've got to learn to get equipped on how to fulfill our specific role in fulfilling the Great Commission. Okay, we have a responsibility. In Acts, in the book of Acts, we see in chapter 2, actually, we see the early believers, they organized themselves and they were gathering together. In fact, they were growing so fast, they had to organize themselves. And they did so in kind of like what we do now. And they dedicated themselves to some corporate group activities to help equip each other. Okay, and Scripture says there's four specific things that they gathered to do. They gathered for teaching, they gathered for fellowship, they gathered for communion, it says, and for prayer. For teaching, fellowship, communion, and prayer. The church gathered is supposed to be where a bunch of get-tos, okay, come together to devote themselves to the call of being the church. Are you following me? Okay. So we come to learn, to train, to fellowship, to encourage, to strengthen each other, to share our resources and gifts, pray together for the work that we do out there. The work is not here. The work is out there. That's where the church works. Now, powerful, supernatural things happen when God's people come into agreement with God and come into unity with him and with each other So much supernatural can happen when a group of people come together that Satan absolutely hates a unified and spirit-filled church full of get-to people. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, Satan always hates Christian fellowship. It is his policy to keep Christians apart. Anything which can divide the saints from one another is his, he delights in. Since unity is strength, he does his best to promote separation. So when a church group like we are has a call of God on their lives as we do and is dedicated to building the church and teaching, fellowshipping, we're communing, we're praying, we're on mission, Satan will be prowling around seeking to devour, to detour, to distract, to divide, to discourage and derail the efforts of the group of believers. Yes or no? Yes. And when the wind blows hard like they have, and they will again. Did you know that every church goes through hard times? Did you know that? Every church does. And when the winds blow hard, like they have and they will, the question is, what is our response? What will our response be? Do we stop? Do we retreat? Do we settle? Or do we move forward in faith? See, God has called you and I to do a great work. The closer the coming of Christ, the greater the work. The harder the work. I'm telling you, I never dreamed that we would be in the situation that we're in with the church in America, the church around the world. I never dreamed ministry would be as difficult as it is. I never dreamed it, but here we are. And it is. It's difficult. Now I want you to hear me. I know that I know that I know that our greatest days as a church are ahead. I would not be standing here if I did not believe that. See, God's work for Cultivate Church Nashville has just begun. It's just begun. So during the building process, when we have times of discouragement, what are we going to do about that? That's the question. What are we going to do about that? Now, I believe there's a word for the church today here in this passage of Haggai. Keith, I believe there's a word for us. The temple had been destroyed. Solomon's temple had been destroyed. And God said, I want you guys to rebuild it. I want you to be rebuilt. My work is not yet complete. But they were discouraged. I mean, those people were down in the dumps, discouraged. And God said, get to work. The best is ahead. I'm going to show you that. And that's what I've titled the message today. Get to work. The best is ahead. And I believe that's what he wants to tell us today. Y'all ready to hear about it? All right, before we do, let's see what he has to say. Let's stand in the honor of reading God's word. We're going to pray, and here's what I want to do this week like we did last week. It's probably not going to be a thing, but I every once in a while, I want us just to, if you got a free hand, you know, or if you just have to stick a knee out, I don't know. If you've got a free hand, I want you just to open it up to receive from the Lord today. Well, as I tell you, we're needy people. And so, Lord, we beg you. We beg you to come and warm this place up with the power of your presence. With the holy fire, would you fall right now and speak to our hearts. And Lord, let us testify to your goodness. Let us testify to the truth of your word as it pierces our hearts. And teach us, Lord, transform us, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing. Here we go. Haggai. Did y'all find it, by the way? Haggai. All right. We're in chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to go through verse 9. All right, here we go. On October the 17th of the same year, you can read all what happened before. But in October 17th, the Lord sent a message through the prophet Haggai. Say this to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of God's people there in the land. Okay, so I want you to talk to all of them. And here's what he says. Does anyone remember this house, this temple, in its former splendor? Do you remember that? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Yeshu, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people still left in the land. And now get to work. For I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's army. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid. For this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple, and I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's army. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's army. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's army. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's army, have spoken. God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. You can tell already this is going to get good. Here we go. If you're taking notes, here's number one. If you're a little discouraged, I mean, how many of you have been discouraged at some point this year so far? Me too. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, there's some good things happening. I shared with you in my email. If you got my email and read it, I shared some good things. There's good things happening. Listen. But I fought discouragement this week. Now, isn't it interesting that I'm about to preach a message on encouragement and I fought discouragement? But your pastor's been discouraged. Now, I've been very encouraged. But I suspect you, like me, have been discouraged. If you're discouraged, here's number one, God sees your discouragement. Isn't that good? God sees your discouragement. Now, look back at verse 1. October 17th, the Lord sent a message through Haggai, okay? And he says to Zerubbabel, to Jeshua, and to all the people. And he raises this question. Does anyone remember this house and this temple in the former splendor? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. Now, here's a little background. All right, now I love to teach, so here's a little background. The timing of this word was extremely significant to the people. It was very significant. Now, I want you to know, as a little sidebar, that when God speaks, his timing is impeccable. And his timing is for a reason. He's always got a reason for his timing. So if you sense the Lord speaking to you today, don't ignore it. Don't put off what he's saying. Because his timing is important. So just remember that. The nation had just finished the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was a place where the Jews remembered their deliverance out of coming out of Egypt, the bondage of Egypt. So they had just finished celebrating, we're free. It was like their Independence Day. They're celebrating, they're free. Now, the day before this message was given, okay, to Haggai to give to the people was actually the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was where sacrifices were offered on behalf of the nation, and it was for their sins to be forgiven as a nation, okay? So it was actually, should have been a very encouraging time for these people because they were free and they were forgiven. Okay, they were free and they were forgiven. And Israel had been released from Babylon. They had just come back to their land and they were working to rebuild Solomon's temple, okay? But as they were rebuilding the temple, during a time when they should have been encouraged because here they were free, they'd been forgiven, and then they have this mandate from God. They had some purpose put on them, all right? He's already said, here's what I want you to do. They were doing that, but God saw that they were discouraged. He's like, I see that. And see, some were ready to quit. That's the background. There were a few people there that had survived the Babylonian captivity. They made it back, okay? Some of them did. But they still remembered the good old days back when Solomon in Solomon's temple. See, under Solomon, Israel was at its height of power and wealth. And Solomon's temple was second to none. I mean, if you go back and read the description of Solomon's temple, it was gorgeous, beautiful. It was a masterpiece of a building. It was inlaid with gold. So these few people, see, were going around that remembered, they were going around and they were saying, well, back in the old days at the old temple, you see, we were able to afford all the gold. And around them pillars, so we put them up there. And the craftsmanship, it was just better back then. Yes, it was just better back then. And we used treated lumber back then, and we don't have treated lumber now. The sanctuary was twice as big back then. We just remember that. How can we even think about building a building that was as grand as that then? How can we think about having that? See, we don't even have the people that we used to then. They're scattered or they were captured. Some of them are dead now. They didn't make it back. We don't have the workers that we used to. We don't have the resources that we used to. Things aren't the same. We're free. We're forgiven. But look at us. Look how small this remnant is, God. Look how we are. We could never do something significant. God heard what they were saying, and he saw how they were discouraged. So God asked them a question. Does anyone remember the house and its former splendor? Y'all remember that? Now, I want you to remember this. God never asks a question to get information. God did not need to know the answer to that question. God doesn't ask a question because he don't know. He doesn't ask a question for him. He asks a question for us. He asked the question because he wanted to change their perspective. See, the people had the wrong perspective because they were focused on the wrong thing. They were focused on the past. And God saw their discouragement. He saw what they saw. It's like he looked down and looked in to the glasses, the perspective in which they were seeing. He looked down because God is personal that way. He does that. He sees what we see. He knows what we know. He saw from their perspective and he said, I see what you're seeing, but I want you to see what I'm seeing. And today God is saying to Cultivate Church, I see that some of you might be discouraged. I hear you talk about the ministry you're called to do, and guess what? I know what happened. He told me that this week. And on top of that, I see your thoughts about your relationships, about your marriage. I see your thoughts about your finances. I see your discouragement there. I see your discouragement about the economy, the things you say. I feel what you're feeling. I see what you're seeing. But what I need you to do is change where you're looking. I need you to change. I need you to look in the other direction. I need you because I'm not done with you. Isn't that good? See, I've given you a purpose, God says. I've given you command. It's time to rebuild. I've given you a reason. I've given you a reason, Cultivate. And in order to get that done, I need you to change your perspective. I need you to look forward instead of looking backwards. See, when we look back, we can get discouraged really quick. Now, let me tell you what discouragement is. Now, discouragement, the word itself, it just means to take courage out. Dis, take it out, courage, okay? Take courage out. Now, that doesn't do much good unless you understand what the word courage means. Here's what courage means. I want you to write this down because I don't want you to ever forget what this word means. Courage means to make a choice, to confront pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. I'm going to say it again. Courage means you make a choice to confront pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. So if you're discouraged today, what that really is you're facing your future. And there's a lack of hope that things are going to work out for your future. There's a lack of hope that it's going to work out. There's some fear there. When we don't know when things are going to work out, we can get overwhelmed with the current and we can lose heart. We don't see, we don't know, we're not looking in that direction. When we're discouraged, we often want to quit. We want to quit. We even want to stop doing the very thing that God has specifically told us to do. But I want to remind you, God sees you. He sees your discouragement. And do you want to hear some good news? Do you or don't you? Okay, God has a solution for your discouragement. You want to know what it is? It's point number two. God will trade our discouragement for his encouragement. He will trade. He'll do a trade on you. He'll do a trade. God will trade our discouragement for his encouragement. See, if discouragement is the loss of courage and hope, if that's what it is, then we need a dose of encouragement. Here's the deal. When you're discouraged, you cannot depend on yourself to give you encouragement. A self-help program won't work in that situation. See, you can't sleep off discouragement. You can't crawl in the bed till encouragement comes again. You can't do that. As much as you try, and I've tried, and you've tried, you cannot pull yourself up by your bootstraps out of discouragement. Did you know that? See, I know what you're thinking, because I've thought it too. Oh, I've pulled myself up from my bootstraps before, and I kept going, and I'll do it again. Okay? I hear you. And you may have gotten up and kept going somehow. In your own self-sufficiency, you might have done that. But you did not infuse encouragement into yourself. I know that. What we often do to make it, to get through, is see, we often get self-dependent. We're going to depend on ourselves, or we get codependent on something or somebody else to give us encouragement or the wherewithal to move forward. See, we'll turn to ourselves. I know this. See, we'll turn ourselves to our careers. We'll get codependent on our kids' sports to bring us a little bit of encouragement and what they're doing. We'll get lost in that, or activities. We'll get lost in that. We'll look to spouse and we'll look to our friends and we'll put unreasonable expectations on other people and other things and their behaviors toward us. We expect, we need that, we think, to give us encouragement and bring us along. You've done it, so have I, just to get through. And I've thought this before. Well, if we could just have a good Easter, pack it out at Easter, we'll be encouraged. How encouraging. We saw this place packed. Wasn't that good? But then the week after, discouraged again. See, we don't need to try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps to keep going. Doesn't work. What we need is to be filled with encouragement. And by the way, true encouragement, I love this. True encouragement doesn't travel alone. Do you know that? Hope and strength always come with encouragement. In fact, I want you to think about this with me. I mean, just follow me here. This is good. The pattern is hope and strength make their exit before discouragement comes on, and they make their entrance before encouragement comes on. See, discouragement comes on the heels of, I've lost hope. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of doing the same old, and not getting any results. I'm tired of withstanding. I don't see a way forward. Then discouragement sets in. You see that pattern? Okay. Then when encouragement is on the way, you start to see some light at the end of the tunnel. you start to see some glimpses of hope. You start to see some changes on the horizon. You start to see God moving here and there in just little ways around you. You sense in your knower, you sense a little shift going on in the atmosphere, a little buzz. It's getting stronger every day. You're getting stronger every day. The Lord's speaking to you. He's speaking his word. And then before you know it, I'm encouraged. Let's go another day, God. Let's go another day. Now, here's what you need to know. True encouragement can only come from someone who has hope and strength to give you. That's the only place that it can come from. And I'll give you one guess who that someone is. Jesus. Now, I want you to look what the Lord said to his people. Haggai 2:4 says this, "But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel, be strong, Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, be strong, all you people still left in the land." In other words, he's saying, preacher, be strong, leader, be strong, congregation, be strong. You catch that? That's what he's saying. Priest, be strong, leader, be strong, people, be strong. He said that to me this week. Daniel, be strong. Leadership, be strong. Congregation, be strong, be strong. And now get to work, he says, "For I am with you, says the Lord. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid." God tells his people, be strong, not once, not twice, three times. Three times, he says, be strong. He's saying to you, find the strength in what you're doing. And then he says, get to work on your future. And then he says, for because I am with you. In other words, because of the encouragement of my presence, you can have hope for future of this temple and the strength to get it done. Because I'm with you, you can get it done. Not only that, but look here. My spirit remains among you just as I promised when you came out of Egypt, so don't be afraid. Now, the grammar used here in the original language would indicate that because my spirit will stay with you, you don't have to be afraid. See, it's a because and. Because my spirit is with you, you don't have to be afraid. Isn't that good? That's good. See, so not only can my presence exchange your discouragement for my encouragement, but because my spirit is going to stick with you, it's going to stick with you, you don't have to be afraid of the unknown that lies ahead. You don't have to get discouraged because I'm with you. I'm the one who brings the encouragement. I'll fill you with it if you want it. Here's the bottom line. I like bottom lines. It's the manifest presence of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit. You know the difference between the two, don't you? The indwelling Holy Spirit that's always with you, and then the manifest presence of God that manifests itself when we come together, okay? It's those that give us courage and strength and hope and tenacity to move forward. You know what that word tenacity means, by the way? It's the resolve to stick it out when the going gets tough. Now, can I just be real with you? That's an adjective that God has applied to my life this year. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's tenacity. I'll say it this way, if the work of the Spirit in your life, teaching you, guiding you, talking truth to you, that's his work, coupled with the manifest presence of God that shows up when we gather together, it makes this exchange of encouragement for our discouragement. That's what it does. It makes a holy exchange. It's a supernatural exchange that happens. The prophet Zechariah, in the next book over, he tells this same group of people the same thing. Now, you don't have to turn there, but here's what he says. Zechariah 4:6 says, "So he said to me," this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Same group of people, okay? "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." You know that verse, don't you? He said to this group of people in this process, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, this will be done. And what are you, mighty mountain? It raises the question. What are you, mighty mountain, in front of me? What are you? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to finish the job with shouts of, God bless it from the people. That's what the people are going to say. God bless it. When you put the capstone on, when you finish, God bless it, they'll say. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this temple, and his hands will also complete it. And then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. See, what God is saying to Zerubbabel here and all the people is that the work that he has called them to do will not be complete by human energy. No, no, no. It will not be completed by these hands. God will give them the strength and the power to do it through his spirit. In our power, discouragement all day long. All day long, discouragement. All day long. In the power of the Spirit, though, we've got nothing but encouragement to see what God has started come to completion. What he started, he's going to bring to completion. And as we watch him do it, you know what we're going to do? You know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? We're going to start shouting, God bless it, God bless it. He did that work. See, when God does a work among his people, when God builds the temple, when God builds the house, he puts praise in our mouths. And we'll say, because people will ask, what's going on at Cultivate Church? How is it growing like that? How are people being healed like that? How are people being set free? How are they being saved like that? And we'll say, it was God who blessed it. God bless it, God bless it, God bless it. Praise the Lord. It's his work, not our work. On our terms, we'll get discouraged and we'll quit. But with his terms, we can exchange our discouragement for his encouragement and get the job done. You following me? Whatever it is that God has started in your life, whatever it is, if you're facing discouragement in it, hold on, because my God sees you and he can exchange your discouragement for his encouragement. But it won't be by your might or by your power. Don't try. Lay your life down. It'll be exchanged by his spirit, and through the power of his spirit, he will complete the work that he has started. Here's number three. You need to know this. If you're discouraged about something, God trades good for greater. God always trades good for greater. I need you to know this. God never downgrades. God always upgrades. He's an upgrade God. Haggai 2:6 says, for this is what the Lord of heaven's army says, in just a little while I will again shake the heavens and the earth and the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord. The silver's mine. The gold's mine. The future glory of this temple will be greater than the past. And in this place, I will bring my peace. And then he says, take it to the bank because I've said it. Take it to the bank because it came out of my mouth. In other words, he's saying, hold on, the best is yet to come. What an exciting prophetic word to God's people. Because of the perspective of the people, see, they couldn't see the future. They couldn't see how the future could be better than it once was. But God wants his people to see from his perspective. He wants you to see from his perspective today. And God, from God's perspective, he's saying, hey, folks at Cultivate, hey, pastor, Cultivate Church, hey, leaders of Cultivate Church, hey, teachers of Cultivate Church, congregation of Cultivate Church, the gold and silver that you used to build the temple that got destroyed and got taken away from you, guess what? It belongs to me. And if I want you to build something like you had before, I could provide it for you just like that. I could give you all you need to do what you've done before. But this time, I'm going to do something greater, and I want to fill this temple with something better than before. And God is saying to you today, listen, whatever the enemy has taken from you, whatever he's stolen, whatever you had before, I'm doing a new thing. Can't you see I'm making a way in the desert? I'm making streams. I'm making a way for you. Can't you see that? I'm doing a new thing. If you'll obey me, if you'll get to work building the kingdom of God in your marriage, if you'll get to busy building the kingdom of God with your children and with your resources, with your church, if you'll get busy building the kingdom of God, whatever it is that you're discouraged about because of what you've lost, I'm going to give you something better. I believe that all of us here have a strong desire to see Cultivate grow and thrive. Yes? I hope so. I hope so. See, we put forth a lot of effort every week to set up and tear down for a few hours and for this setting to be conducive as possible for worship and study. We do. Sometimes when the Lord pushes a pause button on us like he did back in September, you remember I've told you that. And then when we have a major transition like we've had this year, we can get discouraged. Let's not beat around the bush. It can be easy to think, is all of this worth it? With this little church, will this little church plant ever grow? Will it ever make a difference? Zechariah told the people, 4:10, in Zechariah 4:10, he says, "Don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." In other words, don't discount what God's doing right now. What he's building right now, don't discount it. Don't count God out. Don't overlook the need for this part of the building process. Don't overlook it. And when God does a change up and the change up hurts, I'm going to tell you the change ups hurt. Don't forget. Do not forget. And I'm telling myself this. The change-up is good because God is good, and he's about to exchange something good for something greater. And I'm telling you, the exchange has already happened. He's already made the exchange. Do you believe that? Don't get discouraged. Hold on. God sees the small things. God sees the small acts of obedience. God sees the small sacrifices of love. He sees it. He sees it. God sees. God exchanges. He exchanges. And God replaces his good for his greater good. The best is yet to come. Let's get to work. Let's get to work. Now here's the invitation. Here's the invitation for every single person in this room. Lay down your discouragement, whatever it is. Lay it down today. Believe God and receive his encouragement. Now that can apply to this church, but it can apply to your life. Whatever you're discouraged about today, whatever it is, here the invitation is, lay down your discouragement today. Now, this is important. You've got to believe God. Believe him. Even when you can't see. You can't see. You can't see. Believe him by faith and receive his encouragement today.